Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist for the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now, for God's sake. I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now.
Hi there, and welcome to another episode of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there is Rex Hupke. Every week when we do this show, when we record it here at beautiful WGN Radio Studios on beautiful Michigan Avenue, there are lots of screens around us, and I'm always facing, almost always, I'm facing a fine Toshiba television that has always got Mari Povich on it every time we're in here. And every time you can basically say the same thing, like, no way did that guy do that, and oh, he did her wrong. And oh, he's got to decide today.
Yes.
Like, that applies to all of it.
And I see none of it because you're facing that way. And
I just randomly yell these things at you.
Yeah, I'm completely at a loss as to whose head.
It's always the same dude. Like, some dude, some woman. There's usually a kid involved. It's fine.
Yeah. And then there's a DNA test, and then they fight.
I would like to just stage an elaborate, like, I want to go to one of those casting calls.
Yeah.
Let's do that to promote the show.
That'd be a great thing to do.
We can
and Hupke on Maury.
We can go through a whole thing about like a fake paternity test, and I'll be like, just kidding, we're just friends.
Yeah.
And we have a podcast, and you should listen to it.
Waha.
That'd be really good.
Yeah.
Hashtag journalism standards and ethics right there.
Hum a few bars of that, Maury.
Yeah. Anyway, hi, Hupke. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great. There's a lot of things in the world.
There are so many things. I am shocked. Again,
I would like to start with, well, there's so many that I feel like, you know, you made the suggestion prior to the show of doing a lightning round, which I think we should do, of just like as fast as we can. Maybe even we didn't start the fire style. We could just shout out all of our grievances.
Yes, it would be sort of an airing of grievances in rapid succession.
Yeah. So that may be a thing we need to do. But I would like to start because it is Passover.
Happy Passover.
I thank you. My people are doing the seders and celebrating with the matzah and whatnot, with the story of Exodus and whatnot. And good old Spicy opened his mouth because that's what he does for a living.
Not well.
Not very well.
But it is what he does.
But he referred to Holocaust centers. He was trying to say concentration camps, and he said,
Holocaust centers.
Yes. Like it's the fucking YMCA.
Something you would see in a strip mall.
Yeah.
Yes.
Please report to the Holocaust Center to claim your luggage. Yes. No. No. Like Holocaust Center. And so there's all these wonderful GIFs rolling around the interwebs right now of reporters that were sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at him like...
Just like, what?
What?
Did that just happen?
Creepers say, what? Yeah. Like, one in particular, her face is just like... She's sitting right in front of April Ryan, and both of their faces are like,
yeah,
what?
It's astonishing.
Astonishing. And here's the thing. Like, you are the communication guy.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Right.
You need to not be able to completely screw it up when you're making a statement. You're the guy who's supposed to spin it all and make people feel good about it, you big old jerk.
Yeah. And you know what?
He can't talk. He can't think on his feet. He freaks out and panics.
Right. He couldn't. Yeah. He can't pronounce the names of many different foreign leaders. He struggles with even the most basic stuff, which makes.
Oh, he screwed up a goon the other day that was like everybody knows.
I don't. Yeah. I mean, it's just pick your thing. I mean, it happens every the press conferences are painful to listen to.
Yes.
Because he is a horrible communicator, legitimately. Like, regardless of the fact that he's lying.
Why do you have that job?
That he's lying almost
also
nonstop.
That.
I mean, he may have
the
job.
I mean, I would say all press secretaries for every administration, spin is a big part of your job.
Of course, yeah.
You're the spokesperson. I mean, that's for anything. If you are the spokesperson for anything, you are out there putting anything in the best possible light and telling the story you would like people to believe. It is incumbent upon us in the Fourth Estate to pick that apart and look for... find out, like, sniff out the spin and report accordingly.
But he's not spinning most times. He's
flat
just
out lying. Straight up
I mean, we've
lying.
Never, right. I mean, like, the you know, from all the way back to the inauguration numbers and stuff. I mean, just
right.
Ridiculous
there's
lies.
Like, there's spin, like the kind that you do if you're trying to set your friend up with someone who's, like, not super good looking. They're like, oh, what's this person like? Well, He's really nice.
A real go-getter.
Yeah, he's really, he's real sweet is what, like, there's that kind of spin.
Authentic.
He's a very authentic, he is real.
Yeah.
And he will be so nice to you. Like, there's that kind of spin. But then there's like, he's a supermodel. Like, no, Brian, no. Right? Like, there's big lies. Like,
yeah.
And there's like humongous missteps where you just, not just step in it, but you like leap and belly flop into a giant dog turd, like when you say something like Holocaust centers.
Yeah, that's the point where you stop, you admonish yourself.
You go, I'm sorry, I misspoke.
You say, what the hell did I just say?
What did I just say?
I'm a moron. I can't believe I just said that. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Oh God, I'm so embarrassed. And during Passover, no less. God,
yeah.
I'm an ass.
What is wrong with me?
That's what you say.
Yeah, because I will say Spicer today came out late yesterday he was already apologizing, and today again he gave a very contrite, I thought,
yeah,
apology, which is fine and good, but you don't wait.
You
do it at the second
immediately.
I mean,
you go away. Oh, I mean, God, I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah.
Here's what I meant.
I mean, if we're on air live and we say something that we didn't, you know, comes out the wrong way, we're going to immediately be like, oh my God, you know what, I didn't, that was, holy cow.
We do that all the time.
Right.
We'll say something and be like, well, you know what I mean, not this, but this.
Yeah.
We clarify constantly.
Yeah, so for him
have six listeners.
Right. Six, I think it's seven. I think
it
we
is
hit
seven.
Seven.
We got that tweet this week.
Yes, but bam.
Yeah.
But I think that he, yeah, I mean, it's, first of all, you don't go Hitler on anything, and he did. And then
yeah.
he went, and then he just kept, it's like he got to the bottom of a hole and kept on digging with the hope that he would eventually
right.
come out on top. And
this,
I was like,
this shit show is not bad enough. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Real bizarre. My chair is too high. I got to lower it.
Oh,
there we go. Now I'm feeling the microphone. Okay, good.
Once we reach 10 listeners, we won't have to deal with this kind of logistical nonsense anymore. We'll have people.
We'll have people.
to do that. Please, my chair is too high.
The water is far too cold. It needs to be lukewarm.
Yes. We have tens of listeners. What do you... Get it. Chop, chop.
Tens plural.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
Whoa.
Can you imagine?
Amazing. Yeah, so that, speaking of misspeaking, after the second United Airlines dumbassery in the news this week, CEO Oscar Munoz also completely screwed it up. His statement to his employees and the statement that he issued was so terrible. Because the first one was the kind of apology that you issue when it's like, well, I'm sorry that you took it that way.
Yeah.
That
was the reallocated.
Yes.
We reallocated several. It was like, what?
You did what? You dragged a motherfucker off the plane.
First off.
And you beat him.
Not a word. Second.
Second.
Everybody on Earth is looking at a video of that poor dude getting his face smashed into an armrest and then used to smooth out the carpet of the aisle as he's dragged,
yes,
you know, off almost lifelessly, it seems.
I know. I thought he was dead. When I first saw it, when it first happened, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I thought he might
dead.
Be unconscious or something at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, oh, God, I couldn't believe it. But holy cow, like what, and that's kind of where, you know, this is where we are in this world, I feel like, and it drives me nuts. And you can talk about it with Spicer or Trump or United or anybody. It's like people are never willing to, it's like an apology is a bad thing or
like
a sign
it's
of weakness.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not, man.
No.
Just say, you know what? Just be like, oh my God. I mean, if I, you know, like rear end somebody on the road and they get out and they're steaming mad at me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
You
know, I was really digging this Dairy Queen Blizzard I was eating, and, which is a true story, by the way. I did rear end somebody once.
Eating a Blizzard?
Because I was really digging on a Dairy Queen Blizzard.
What was the candy in the Blizzard?
It was, I always get a German chocolate Blizzard, which is like chocolate syrup, walnuts, chocolate syrup, pecans, and coconut. It's delicious. And if it's made with love, which it often is.
You are having a moment
yes,
right now with this here
I
Blizzard.
I love the Dairy Queen.
I've never had that Blizzard in particular, but that sounds like
it's
a fine choice.
It's a German chocolate Blizzard.
Yeah.
But, and I actually told them. I got out and I said, I am so sorry. I was really enjoying
it.
Which was slowly sliding down the windshield of my car at that point because it went blah.
Yeah. Oh,
I was able to salvage some.
I bet you were sadder about the Blizzard
in
the car.
I was like, oh man, that Blizzard was so good. I got insurance for this crap. Who's going to cover
right. Who covers my Blizzard? You know, you went back and got a new one.
I did. But I had to use a different car because the other one was totaled.
But even then, you tapped a bumper and threw a Blizzard
and I apologized. Right. And the woman, she actually gave me a hug, I think because she thought that there was something wrong with me. She's like, this poor man, his life is so awful. All he has to live for is a Blizzard. I'm giving him a hug.
I'm going to hug him.
But no, seriously, though, that's a, it is the amount of good you can do. And I understand there's legal issues to whatever, but man, just apologize, people. If you say something wrong, if you do something, and that goes back to any president, any politician.
I walked into a propped open door the other day and turned around on complete instinct and went, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I said, "I'm sorry" to the door, Hupke. Like, it's not that hard. You can bet your ass I would apologize if one of my employees did some dumbass thing. Like, I would be mortified if I were Oscar Munoz right now.
Yeah.
Mortified. What is...
But yeah,
I enjoyed your column that was like, "Hey, dude, copy paste this. Here, I've written it for you."
Yes, I tried to help him out, but I've had no sign of appreciation yet.
I appreciated it. And further, immediately, like Courier Journal tweets this, like, "Oh, this guy had a troubled past." Who gives a shit? I don't care. What? Like, I think you said this in your column. If he just got out of prison for murdering a family of penguins, fine.
Yeah.
He still doesn't deserve to be beaten and dragged off a flight.
Right. Unless whatever he had done in the past related to something he had done that caused him to get kicked off the plane, then there is no relevancy to that whatsoever. I mean, you know, like he was removed from the plane for no reason of his, you know, nothing that he had done. And
right.
So whatever his past, that doesn't, I mean, it's not like they pointed him out because, "Hey, this guy has a questionable past. Let's kick him out." I mean, that didn't happen. Right. So
there were a bunch of travel writers that were making the rounds yesterday, and several of them said, honestly, you get kicked off a flight if you paid the least. Like, a frequent flyer number mm-hmm. and a regular-ass ticket price will keep you on a plane.
Yeah.
And the combination of the two. But if you got, like, a super cheap last-minute ticket, like, and it's overbooked, you might be the one kicked off. So what I don't understand is why the hell were too many people on the damn plane? Like, aren't you checking us in as we're boarding?
Yeah, usually if you're going to get bumped, before you board.
Right, because I always take that voucher if I can.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, hell yeah, pay me to travel later. I'll sit here and I'll go get a Blizzard and, you know, do whatever and chill.
You down with the Dairy Queen?
I'm down.
Nice.
Because there are no Dairy Queens in airports, but, you know. I mean, I'm like the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard lady myself, but I'm going to try. Yeah.
You got it.
I'm going to sleep.
We have a whole show lined up for that.
For the Blizzard show.
Hey, yeah, that's what we've been talking about, trying to take the podcast
out somewhere. We're going to do it at Dairy Queen.
And do it from a Dairy Queen. That's the only thing that makes logical sense.
I enjoy that very much. But nonetheless, like, if they offer it, I'll be like, yeah, I'll take it if I can. I'll sit here, take the next flight, no big deal. So why did they not? I don't understand. I mean, we weren't there. We don't know. Maybe they did. I don't know.
I don't know what could have happened. I mean, just literally anything would have been better. I mean, they could have said, "Okay, we are offering you $1 million in travel vouchers," and they would have come out way ahead than what they're going to come out now, because this dude is going to get some money. I mean,
oh my God,
it's just
already lawyered up, I think.
Yeah, with like two, like high, big time Chicago personal injury lawyers. He is absolutely going to have so much money.
I would.
It'd be ridiculous. And I don't. And you know what? Screw them. That they screwed up. This was a colossal mistake.
I have like 200 witnesses and a cell phone video that the entire world has seen.
Yes.
I'm probably going to win this one. I'm feeling pretty confident about that if I'm that guy's counsel.
Yeah, no, United has to already be, they're already bundling up the stacks of hundreds to deliver, putting them in a duffel bag. Just be like, "Here, dude,
just take it.
We're going to cut this as a loss and let's all go on our way.
Can we give you a couple planes?
Yeah.
What do you need? What do you
exactly.
need? It's terrible. And and what pained me was that immediately it was that, and he had a troubled past. Like, I retweeted somebody who said something like, "Today in, but the brown guy did something in the past. Let's talk about that news." You know, I retweeted him because he's right. Like, always like, oh, let's bring up this person's character to somehow lessen the blow of something completely inappropriate and terrible that happened to him.
Right. Yeah. As if that and then this is one of the most bizarre cases of that, I think, because again, there was nothing. I mean, the person involved had absolutely not done anything.
He
I mean, there was no
flight,
right? I mean, there were no action on his part that necessitated any there that precipitated any of this. So it was. I mean, I never think that that's a good thing when it's not relevant to the story. But still, I mean, in this case, it's just completely superfluous. Now, the one argument that I heard from the editor of the Louisville newspaper put out a statement, because they caught so much flack for writing about mm-hmm. this, and said that apparently the past convictions that this guy has, he was a doctor, and it was a pretty big news story in Louisville at the time when it happened a decade or something ago. So he's a person that people know about him. His name is familiar. And so that was their argument, was that, look, this was someone that everybody knew who it was, and he had been in the news big time previously, so we kind of felt like we needed to bring it out. Now, I think that's okay, but the way they did it
and the way that headline was worded, it was like
they did it like breaking, you know, mm-hmm. United Airlines passenger had
that
trouble
one
passed.
Guy
yeah,
may have had this coming.
So I think that to me, locally in Louisville, like, I get that. I think that should have, I mean, in their case, maybe you put that somewhere in the story, you know, lower down.
Yeah.
If it's relevant to your local audience, I can understand that. I still don't totally agree with it, but I get it. But I don't think you have to do a separate story and then spit it out on the internet as if it's breaking news.
Right,
I mean,
that
just because, again, that you know what's going to happen. That's going to go, you know.
Right. You report on what happened, like Louisville resident so-and-so had the following happen, da-da-da-da. Then new paragraph, and then you say, dude, comma, who last April had the following shit happen to him, blah-blah-blah.
Yeah. Right.
You don't leave with that.
Right. No, definitely not. And you don't make it such a big deal. Because you had to, I mean, they had to know that that was going to take off nationally as soon as they put that out in the way they put it out.
Yes.
If they'd buried it in their story somewhere, maybe it still might have happened, but it would have been a lot less likely. So,
yeah.
It's hard. Journalism can be hard sometimes. There's a lot of tough decisions, but I don't think that was one of the tougher ones, personally. So,
yeah. I totally agreed. Okay, so perhaps we start shouting grievances at this point. Because
Ben Carson in an elevator.
Oh, you beat me to it. Trump in the cake.
Trump in the cake.
Wait, let's pause and dive into that one for a minute.
Yes, we have to.
Trump in the cake.
That was too lightning. Yes, Donald Trump was at Mar-a-Lago, as he is wont to be pretty much every damn weekend.
Yeah.
Costing us approximately $2 million every time he goes there. Doesn't need to be there.
But Obama.
Right, but Obama golfed. And then he's with the Chinese president, and they're having some dessert.
As you do.
Right. And right around dessert time was when he apparently, you know, gave the little finger wag to his defense folks to launch the attack on Syria. So he tells the Chinese president while they're eating dessert what has just happened. And he's in this Fox News interview, and he's just describing it, and he can't stop talking
and
about the damn
crazy.
Cake.
He cannot.
It's the most gorgeous piece of cake you've ever seen. I mean, oh my God, it was so good. Oh, so luscious. And you're like, oh God, really?
You launched a strike on Syria.
You killed people. I mean, not a lot, but there were people. There were fatalities in
that. There were people that were dead after you did that thing.
Yeah.
And you're talking about cake right now.
Oh, but the cake. And then the Fox News person that's interviewing was like, oh, wow, okay. You know, and you're like, come on, what the? And a few, I can't remember if it was before the cake or post-cake. I think he brought the cake up twice. But at some point in there,
he's going MacArthur Park in here.
At some point, he mistook the country that we bombed.
Oh, okay, that's where I was like, and also this.
But the cake.
Yeah, I don't remember what he said exactly, but yeah.
He said Iraq.
Oh, yeah, he said... Well, didn't he stumble on it or something?
No, he said Iraq, and she corrected him. She says, do you mean Syria? And he's like, yeah.
Oh, my. Holy shit.
But the cake. Oh, my God, this cake. You wouldn't have. Now, I could, look, if it's me, I can understand going on about the cake, I guess. But I'm not president.
If it was a blizzard.
Yeah, I'm not president. Come on.
It was so weird. What is he doing? It was like are you doing a bit? Or what are you doing right now?
One of the things that scares me, and I think a number of people, the most about him.
People are going to start a drinking game that's like every time you say one of the things that scares me, and every time I say one thing that's really bothering me.
That's good. Maybe we need to rename the podcast. Things that scare and bother us.
That one thing.
Yeah, that one.
We should just make that drinking bingo card for our listeners.
Yes. That could really up it. We could get into the 20s.
Yeah.
In no time.
Let's make that. Okay, I'm going to write this down.
Okay.
Bingo card. Go.
Cool. All right. So, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, one of the things that bothers me, that bothers many, I think, and that strikes fear into my heart, is that Donald Trump does not seem to have empathy or any sense of caring about anything.
That was my phone.
That's okay.
I clicked on a thing, sorry.
No, sorry. I know I'm kind of dull, but.
No, I was clicking on that very story because I was going to, there was like a story with the full statement, and
oh,
I was going
to
read that, but anyway.
Yeah, no.
Cares.
Yeah, but so, no, we do care. Anyway, now we're, oh yeah, so the.
I'm derailing this cake thing.
It's a great cake story.
Cool cake story, bro.
No, but the feeling is like he doesn't have any empathy, and that, you know.
I don't think he does.
And that is very. When you see something like that happen, when you see somebody describing how he revealed to another foreign leader that we had just bombed a country, which is a big deal, and he's talking about the damn blue, beautiful cake he had at his own resort that he, you know, he is getting money from because he keeps promoting the damn thing, and it's wonderful cake and all this other crap, and the fact that he makes big decisions there so people want to be around him or whatever. It's just so weird. You know, it's so weird. What does he care about? He doesn't care about... He just doesn't seem capable of understanding the seriousness of what is going on here in terms of being president or in terms of ordering a military strike or anything, because cake, and it's yummy.
Yeah. Also of great concern is that his recent tweets about Korea, particularly about North Korea, like the one that said earlier today, had a good call last night with the president of China concerning the menace of North Korea. You tweeted that.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Here's what he's doing. He's starting a major global conflict. There's a lot of people running around going, World War III, meh. Like maybe, I don't know. But nonetheless, I feel like he's poking the bear of major global conflict with like via Twitter without much thought behind it, all in the name of this gross hyper toxic masculinity thing that he does.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a, you know, look at me. I'm a big, you know, I'm a big strong man. Nobody messes with me. And the problem is that, you know, you could argue if, as he, I think, did sort of during the campaign about this idea of, you know, being unpredictable,
yeah,
you know, not letting every, not giving away the game, that kind of thing, which sounds like sort of good kind of BS business talk or whatever. But in truth, what he's doing, and there's been reporting on this now, is he's confusing the hell out of both our enemies and our allies. Like, nobody knows.
No one knows where he's
standing. They're like,
anything.
What is up with this guy? And apparently there was a report, I think it was in the Washington Post, that said that, you know, China was actually sort of telling North Korea to cool it a little bit, basically, because we don't know what the hell, like, we have no...
This and guy's kind of wacky. Let's just chill.
And some people are going to say, well, oh, it's a good thing. Great. It's not a good
thing.
No,
it's not.
International policy and international relations is not something where you want to be volatile and ever-changing. I mean, because the idea is that people cooperate. They know they can count on you. They know, you know.
I mean, he doesn't realize that even, so like Tuesday, what's today? Today's Wednesday. So like Tuesday night, he was even tweeting something about North Korea, like looking for trouble.
Yeah.
He doesn't even realize that in the position he is in, even doing that is a big deal and not to be taken lightly.
Exactly.
And no. He's so cavalier and casual about this crazy shit, like looking for trouble and saying, you know, I'm going to look to China to solve the problem. Like, you don't realize what you're threatening right now. We're not playing fucking Battleship. Like, for realsies, you're talking about world stuff, things like playing out on the world stage, lives at stake, major conflict, military. Like, don't screw with us like that.
Yeah, right. And he effectively spent a career and then certainly a presidential campaign just spouting stupid lines that had really no meaning or truth behind them or anything. They were just, it was just blah, blah, make America great again. I'm going to build a wall. You know, just all of us, we're going to be strong. We're going to be so strong. It's all based on nothing. And now he's continuing that as if that's what it takes to be president. And it isn't. It's going to bite him and probably us in the ass, because this is not, I mean, nobody's going to have our back.
No. I mean,
look at NATO, for example. All blah, blah about NATO and how it's worthless and they need to pay us more and everything, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, basically making it sound like he doesn't give a whip about NATO for ages. And then I think it was Montenegro joined NATO earlier this week. And he puts out a statement praising how great NATO is. And it's like, what the hell? Where are you?
You're exhausting.
Yeah. And even on Syria, he's got Nikki Haley saying one thing. He's got Rex Flaberson, the the Secretary of State, who's just looks like a...
Yeah, that guy.
He looks like the asshole that fired you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's
totally
how I would describe him. He's just like...
Right.
You
see him and you want to say lines from Office Space to him.
Right. If you were casting, like, you know...
Bob, here's the situation, Bobs.
Yes, exactly.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
Yes, exactly. So perfect. But so you know, Tillerson saying something else, Trump says that, there is no consistency. And I feel like the people in other countries are just like, the serious people in other countries are just like, what? And
what
do we do with this?
What is happening? What are we doing with this petulant little child?
Right, because this is the...
But it's also, like, it's not only he's just tweeting these things in such a cavalier way. When you have responses coming from other countries, and when he's responding to other countries' official statements, I'm stunned at how little he must realize what's at stake. Like when a North Korean news agency says that it is ready to react to any mode of war desired by the U.S., and you're going to tweet a bunch of snotty bullshit at them, like... Like you're looking for trouble. Like, what are you doing?
First of all, you're legitimizing them.
You're legitimizing them.
Yeah.
A. B. It's like, hit me. Come on. Do it. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Come on. Hit me.
Any kind of warfare you want. How about
you
swords?
Let's do swords. I knew you couldn't hit me. Come on. Yeah. Swords. Let's do swords.
Yeah.
It's that.
I got a catapult. We want catapults.
Right.
Make some catapults.
Get the trebuchet. Right. Like, what are you doing right now?
Yeah. It's senseless. And.
But he's fucking with lives. And here, like, I have... nothing but respect for the military. I have many grievances against it, one of which is that it's a longtime classist, racist recruiting machine and has done really manipulative things to groups of people, to groups of young people. Don't even get me started. Actually, we are going to get started on this. Talk about Rahm and his graduation plan. Because that's a bunch of bullshit here in our city.
Oh, right.
His new graduation plan where he says to get your high school diploma, you need to either show that you have been accepted to college or a trade school or you're entering the military. What the fuck? There's so much wrong with that. I don't even... There's... Like, it's classist, elitist, capitalist, awful. Ooh, I get so mad at that one. I've raged about that one for days. But nonetheless, like, he is playing with young people, many of whom felt it was the only viable socioeconomic choice to make to enter the military, and to treat swaths of lives in this country and others in such a cavalier way, when Donald Trump, are not the one who has to go fight a war, who has to go resolve any kind of military conflict in some kind of little bitch pissing match that you start because your masculinity is so fragile and so easily threatened, you're going to respond to official news agencies and tweets and dare them to come at me, bro, and all that. Like, what are you doing? You are fucking with human beings' lives, and it's disgusting. Yeah.
But he has no concept of that.
He has no concept.
And I don't say that to alleviate him of any responsibility. I just say it because it's sort of confounding, because I really feel...
Right. Confounding is the word.
You saw the Eric Trump's comment about how Ivanka was instrumental in getting him to launch the attack.
Because she had feelings about it.
Yeah. Because I'm like, well, where were those feelings when you weren't letting Syrian refugees in the door
right here?
And also, where the hell do we get off bombing a country?
And then not letting
that... Right. And that in and of itself
is infuriating.
We are
entering the most hypocritical, terrible... I have no desire right now. Like, I love to travel and go all the places and do all the things. Sometimes I'm lucky enough to travel for work. I am dreading the next time I have to travel internationally, because there's always a little bit of, oh, you're a big dumb American kind of vibe. There's always some of that. But I think I wouldn't even want to have that conversation right now.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like, whatever, you're right, whatever it is. You're right. We're idiots.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's embarrassing. Yes.
It's totally embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And for a country that I do so very love, and the first time I ever heard that Make America Great bullshit, I was like, you know what? It's already great. It's a great place filled with lots of great people. And we have a fucked up system that punishes people who are not born in the right circumstances. We have a lot of systemic bullshit to work out here. Nothing's perfect, but we're doing it. And enough people care, and I think even more people care now that we're... that's the upside of his election, is that more people, I think, are getting a little more passionately involved. But nonetheless, like... the things.
Yeah, and it's... And really one of the... Well, there are many problems, but one of the key problems, I think it was striking today, Okay, so there was a special election last night in Kansas. And
oh, yeah.
In a district that the GOP has won handily pretty much forever. I mean, super conservative area, as Kansas is most of anyway. And, you know, they normally win, I can't remember the exact, like by 20-plus points at least in these elections. So a Democrat comes along and comes very close, like within a percentage point or so of winning. The Republican won, but the Democrat
but was... But it was a tight race.
Yeah, it was like a 20-point-plus mm-hmm. swing from what it normally is. So that's kind of telling about what's happening right now. And Trump tweets out, you know, congratulations to the Republican dude who won. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And
no.
Democrats threw a ton of money at it, and they were certain he was going to the Democrat would win. That is not the Democrats put no money into that race to speak of at all.
None.
They did not think he was going to win. It got interesting towards the end, and they started to wonder, but they never thought that was going to they were going to pull that out. And it wasn't close. I mean, it was close. It wasn't a blowout. I mean, he made it sound like it was a blowout. It wasn't at all. It was, like I said, a point or two. And it scared the living hell out of Republicans because they're like, wow, if that's going to happen there, imagine what's going to happen in places that aren't quite so conservative in some of the more swingy areas and stuff like that. We're going to be in big trouble come 2018. So that tweet contained at least three lies, and they are unnecessary lies. I know that sounds weird because that's like, why should any lie be necessary? But there was no strategic, there was no point to any of those lies. All he had to do was say congratulations to blah 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 for winning.
And then shut up.
And then shut up.
Shut your damn mouth.
But instead he lied. I mean, that's what is so hard is that he lies with such ease and almost.
But that's classic propagandist.
Right. It's disinformation.
And classic fascist to get misinformation or to say misinformation and keep repeating it over and over and over, delegitimize anyone who argues with him. That is classic fascist. Like, yeah. If there was fascist university, that would be a 101 class.
Yeah. No,
spreading
you're
misinformation. Exactly. Oh my gosh, that'd be so funny.
Maybe we should start that.
No, I don't want to do that.
But the
but it'd be a good SNL sketch.
We'll leave it to them. Fine.
Yes.
But who, how do we, what do we do with that? I mean, that is so, and so that, to me, that tweet this morning.
We have to keep calling it fascism and keep calling it propaganda. Keep calling, I mean, I think we just have to keep saying that to, I remember on election day or election week, someone said, I just wrote on a post-it, this is not normal. And I put it up in my office so that I remember for the next 4, maybe 8 years.
You need to change that sign occasionally, though, because the sign's going to get normal.
It's going to get normal. You're going to use
like, this is not, there's that
my post-it has gotten normalized.
Yes.
Right. But she, I remember she tweeted that, and she just said, because I never want to slip on my standards of what is right and what is moral.
Yeah. Well, and especially, I mean, we're standing, it's like standing under a never-ending avalanche of just complete
right
nonsense.
And try as we might to not let our standards of behavior change, it's not that they are changing as much as it's so there's just so many giant fish to fry, each fish is bigger.
Yeah.
Like if you think back to Bush 1, actually all of them, right? Both of the Bushes, every time one of them said something that they were like both very quotable. Bush 2, especially his pronunciations mm-hmm. were always news.
Yeah.
Right? Like the way he said, well, how did he say?
Nuclear.
Nuclear, right? That one, like everyone went nuts over that.
And misunderestimated or something like that.
Strategery or something.
Yeah,
like, that one, like, and like Dan Quayle used to always be news because he would say, like, when he misspelled potato right. when he visited that class and added yeah. an E on the end of it, things like that. Imagine, like, that's nothing right
seems
now.
Seems so charming.
Now, I mean, we have a press secretary who completely loses his shit every time he is performing the act associated with his job. And that's not the biggest problem we have right now.
An administration that has had no fewer than 2 Holocaust-related scandals in before
12,
the first 100 days are up.
Or whatever we're at.
It's an astonishing pace.
It's an astonishing pace.
So, yeah, because I look at what happened they dropped the bombs on Syria, and we're all about that. And, of course, we get a little distracted because United beat the crap out of one of their passengers, and you know, this all takes us slightly away.
Sidebar, I was... hours away from booking a flight on United.
Okay.
Only because I'm not usually a United flyer, but it was like there's a tiny window. Uh-huh. I need to get into Los Angeles and get back, and they had that flight. So I was like, oh, I'll just book that. And then, like, by a weird stroke of fate, my phone rang. This happened. And then that video came out. And I was like, well, I don't know if I want to do that. And I just feel like on the heels of that legging kerfuffle,
it was a step too far.
Like, you guys are having a bad time.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to let you have it over there. Your CEO is a dumbass, perhaps.
Yeah. Although there's part of me that wants to fly just on the off chance I get beat up, because then I get a ton of money.
Hopkey.
Please beat me.
You're walking there like, pretzels, sir? No, but I'll take a punch in the face.
Yeah. I'm going to, like, trip and hit my head on the arm. I say, oh, did you see what that... See what that person did?
The Guth and Hupke on Politics legal counsel. Yes. Some are like, shh.
Yes.
Now, if you're ever hurt, you can never sue anyone because you've said that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Actually, that's great. I'd like to retract that statement. Can we edit that out, please, and burn it?
Kevin will know. Esteemed producer Kevin Richter will know, and he will have so much dirt on us for that. If he were to edit out, which he won't, because it's all good. Anyway.
But so all that stuff distracts us.
Right.
And yesterday, the Washington Post reports that there, in fact, had been a FISA warrant.
Yeah.
For, oh my God, what's his name? He's the dorkiest looking spy ever. it's Carter Page. Is that right? Carter Page?
Dorkiest spy.
He does. He looks like, it's like if there was a movie called Spy Nerds, he'd be the, lead.
I'm going to need a minute with that.
Yeah, Carter Page. And
I just stopped laughing about Ben Carson in the elevator. Now I'm going to laugh at spy nerds. Okay.
So there was a FISA warrant for him back in July, which was then renewed like twice, which is a decent sign that they were gathering some kind of useful intelligence.
Sure, sure.
Okay, so now that pops back up and everybody's like, whoa, man, for 4 days we forgot that there's an FBI investigation into the administering the current administration and the presidential campaign that led to it. And that now brings with Carter Page, Paul Manafort, Flynn, Michael Flynn, the former national security guy. That's three people who have been either and the FISA warrant. I mean, they consider that you are acting as a foreign agent. I mean,
that's not lightly given.
Right. I got so annoyed. I tweeted something yesterday and about how, you know, I'm basically saying this is a big deal. I mean, the bar for FISA warrants, and I retweeted someone from, I think it was the Lawfare blog, who would basically was a picture of all of the requirements for this. And
I saw a tweet like that.
And a bunch of people were like, oh, yeah, but they just like rubber stamped those things. Like 99% of them get approved.
Not a FISA warrant,
They're right that a huge percentage of them get approved, but that's I'm like, that doesn't mean it's not the justification's not there. That means that they're only bringing good, you know, they're
you
only
bring what you're supposed to bring
right.
to
I mean,
get those because it's a big deal.
Right,
to get
exactly.
That.
I was like, what a stupid
it's
argument.
Not that they're rubber stamped.
They're rubber stamped because
yo, bro, hook me up with a FISA warrant.
I'm
no,
like, no, that doesn't make any sense. So anyway,
And then let us add on that now the president, in as we were just saying, in his go to. Fascist, ignore the facts, say what you want. Even if that story changes in 10 minutes, you're just going to keep insisting the thing you're saying right now is the real thing. He's now trying to kind of disavow Bannon a bit more.
Yeah, I love that.
Which is really exciting. So there's a piece on the New York Times that's in which it says, I didn't know Steve, Mr. Trump told the New York Post columnist Michael Goodwin in an interview on Tuesday, explaining that Mr. Bannon was a latecomer to his presidential campaign. I am my own strategist, the president added, a pointed reference to what aides described as his growing irritation that Mr. Bannon is receiving credit for being the mastermind behind Mr. Trump's victory. Only that's completely not true. It wasn't that you didn't know him prior to.
He was on his radio show several times.
I was going to say, he was on the radio with him all the time.
Yeah, so that's nonsense.
You're super lying. And it's a shift because normally he's so he isn't super critical of his people out in front of them or in front of us. He's usually like we'll reprimand privately. Like that's maybe the one good management quirk he's got. Right. But that he's so openly like something is weird there.
He's gone. Yeah, he's on his way out. There's just no way that's otherwise. And it's so the I can't wait to see what happens because it's Kushner who's ascendant. And so Bannon gets, and apparently I've also seen, again, this is, take it as you will, these are based on reporting.
Right,
based
we
on
also
sources.
Predicted a vastly different outcome of the election, so yes, listen to us however
yes,
you want.
Yes, but the, no, the, some of the reports I've read also attributed to various sources and stuff was, is that Ivanka is not a big fan of Bannon and hasn't been for a while. And so now you've got Kushner, who is now doing, it seems, everything. And
yeah.
Bannon possibly on the outs. If Bannon gets booted because of Kushner, not only the alt-right, but Bannon's going to, I don't see Bannon walking away quietly either. I mean, he, you know, and oh, Lord, the just.
Let's call the alt-right what they are.
Okay, sure.
Like, let's not say alt-right. Let's just come out and say, like, racist Nazis.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Racist and or Nazis.
I mean, it's a Venn diagram.
Yeah.
I suppose you could be. You could definitely.
Hey, I'm racist, but I'm no anti-Semite.
Right. Like, you could be racist and not be a Nazi. Can you be a Nazi and not be racist?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
No. I don't think you can declare Nazi like a political ideology that.
Right.
I'm not racist. So.
But yes, I think that would really get the Pepe the Frog team cooking loudly,
just...
super pissed offedly if Bannon's out and Kushner is more in than ever.
But what I think is interesting with Kushner and Ivanka, and I know very little about either of them, so I don't mean any of this to either praise or condemn. But I mean, Kushner's a lifelong Democrat.
Yeah.
I mean, and Ivanka has certainly shown, at least in her in talking, certain signs of being more at least socially progressive. We don't know, again, we don't know much about her. I mean, we don't really know where she stands on a lot of things because we don't know her. But basically, the people that are currently really doing what seems like a lot of the running of our government are a 36-year-old dude who nobody knows anything about, who was a real estate guy in Jersey,
right.
And, sort of quasi, whatever, Ivanka, I don't even know what she is. I mean, you know, sort of...
Hotelier.
Failed fashion
designer.
Person-ish. Shoe
she had some
maker.
All right shoes for a while.
Anyway, but... And again, look, and that's where I get to.
But
not,
you know, I draw the line on that weird sailor suit lingerie she tried to come out with. It's like weird. I talked about that for like 5 shows in a row. It's weird.
Really touched a nerve with it.
I mean, of all the role playing stuff you could possibly buy, like a sailor suit, like
that's
just
weird.
Yeah. And it was like it looked exaggerated, like in a Donald Duck way. I don't know.
I feel like even role playing people would be like, what the hell is that?
I mean, every pot's got its lid. I mean, someone got into that, but like, come on. Come on.
That would have been a perfect line for me to screw up. Good job, though. You nailed that one.
Landed it.
Whatever pot's got,
yep.
It's weasel.
So interestingly, right now, I decided to, because there's some episodes I missed, I'm rewatching Downton Abbey because I'm such a sucker for historical drama type of shows. And it's just a parade of like wealthy white people problems. And, you know, it's interesting. It's a well-done show. It's also beautifully shot. Like, a beautifully shot show will go pretty far with me. Anyway, it's fascinating, the comparisons of, like, the Trump family in the White House and the Lord Grantham's family in Downton Abbey.
The palace intrigue.
They're much more likable on Downton Abbey, even when they're being abhorrent. They are much more likable. But nonetheless, it is interesting to see a very legitimized and open and widely accepted class structure enforced type of nepotism versus what we're doing now where they think they're fooling us. Like, no, he's the man for the job. No.
Oh, no. I mean, what are the qualifications? Like, that's what's...
If I were a 36-year-old realtor from Jersey and I was, and like, I would see that, I'd be like, what, like, why not?
Yeah, sure.
Why not me?
I'll do that. But the thing is, though, that they may... Start pushing. I mean, they could start pushing this whole thing into a more centrist, at least. I'm not gonna say liberal, but more centrist direction. In which case, then the Trump's base is really going to wig out because not only did the Jewish guy kick the anti-Semite out,
but now this is a conversation we're having about the White House.
Right, right. Now they're getting all squishy and liberal. Oh my God! But it's true, though. I mean, Kushner is. Look, I mean, he's a. He's a Democrat. I mean, he's been a Democrat. Like, there's no reason
to...
He's never given, like, a speech where he outlined any kind of policy or anything like that. And he is apparently calling major shots right now and is pretty much, like, the top advisor to Trump.
There's some really beautifully photoshopped pieces in many organizations right now of, like, putting the two men facing each other in profile, like Bannon and yeah. Kushner.
It was like a line to show who's staring at who.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's everywhere. Well, I've been saying, like, something major is cooking with Bannon because he had been just a little too quiet lately. Mm-hmm. So that could be that he's out. I think that's mostly a good thing, but I do think there will be some very dark sides to that.
In terms of the backlash?
Yes, in terms of the backlash, I think it's I think a lot it will kind of free him in a way. I mean, who knows what he would go and do next? Mm-hmm. And suddenly he's got a much larger platform, because if you weren't familiar with his work at Breitbart, you are now certainly familiar with his work in the White House. So, he will come out, he will emerge more notorious than he entered, and he's now got probably a larger base. So, I'm just saying.
But then the president goes to war with him to some degree. And so I think they start to eat themselves a little bit, which
that's
is
probably good.
Yeah. In which case, I'm fine. You guys go fight over there and
y'all duke it out.
Right. Can only, but it could go, that could also not work that way either. I mean, he could leave and become more powerful somehow, which, blech. I just want him out of there. That's been the filthiest, worst part of all this, is that jackass being in the White House. It makes me sick. And
So
anything that gets him out in my mind is good.
I want him out too. I'm just saying there's going to be some disgusting backlash attached to it. And, you know, it's going to be gross. I mean, I think anti-Semitism is at a big high right now. Yeah. And it's only going to get worse. There'll be another big uptick of it. I mean, we just went through a lot of these bomb threats to JCCs, and they were disgusting and gutting and terrible. So,
yeah.
Again, these are conversations we're having in a discussion about the White House. So that's where we're at that.
Yeah. The highest levels of political power. And we have issues like, you know, filthy anti-Semite crap and idiots.
Just stupid decisions that are badly, like announcements that are badly done, bad on bad on bad. And it's just, it's bad management. It's bad communication. It's bad everything. On top of all that, you have this raging anti-Semite. You have all of the, you know, you have President Pussy Grabber. You have like all this gross shit happening.
And they're screwing up the Easter egg roll, too. Did you hear about that? Apparently the Easter egg roll, you know, that's a big annual tradition dating back to God knows when.
Spicer was the bunny in the Bush administration.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And apparently, like, the New York Times had a big story about it. And they're like, they were way behind on any kind of planning and stuff, partially because the First Lady usually coordinates that and happens to be living in New York City and ignoring everything.
And not giving a shit. Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, regardless of that, it's like, you can't even do this.
Right.
Like, what is going on? I mean, and this is where we kind of separate from, and I really wish people on the left would start talking a little more about this not all being about ideology. Because it's not. This is about basic competence. You know, I believe if you had Jeb or Rubio or somebody, even Ted Cruz probably in there, you would have an infinitely more competent group of people. And I might still despise 99% of what they're doing, but
that's
at least
fair.
I wouldn't be saying like, what the hell is wrong with you guys? You can't even, you got a damn press secretary who's bringing
you
up.
You can't even talk.
Right. Who's bringing up Holocaust centers during Passover week. I'm like, what?
Or any week. Just like you said Holocaust centers. Like it is. Again, like you said, like it's the mall, like it's the why, whatever. Well, if we're still, if we haven't been blown off the earth next week, I look forward to seeing you and discussing all the things that have transpired in the week ahead.
Always end on an up note.
Always do. And the episode of Mari that was on when we started this episode, I'm happy to say that she came out with a wedding dress. It's happening. They're getting married right now. There's a positive note.
That's touching.
In that whole pee or get off the pot thing.
She will be the last of the 60 people he slept with. So that is
She's number 61. No, he cheated on her with 60 women.
Oh, geez.
She's number 61.
Right, 61.
That we know of. Anyway. Amy Guth, Rex Hupke on Guth and Hupke on Politics. We will see you next time.